apologize in advance because my English is not very fluent, and so I have to read my presentation very often. I apologize.
How are we doing this time?
The title of the paper is Instability and Crisis in Financial Complex Systems. I start my presentation quoting Ayman Minsky and updating this quotation by Ayman Minsky. That is, our economic leadership does not seem to be aware that the normal functioning of our economy leads to financial trauma and crisis, inflation, currency depreciation, unemployment, and poverty. In short, that financial complex capitalism is inherently flawed. This sentence by Minsky is very useful to understand the current situation, in my opinion, but not also in my opinion. That is, the normal functioning of our economy leads to financial trauma, and financial complex capitalism is inherently flawed. Indeed, one of the most puzzling aspects of the recent crisis was just that it was unpredicted by the economic leadership, both in academic and inside international institutions. Everybody knows that Queen Elizabeth II's speech at London School of Economics addressed many embarrassing questions to economists about the current crisis. Post-Keynesian economists, by contrast, see for example Kregel, Chick, Dow, Ray, Lawson, Davidson, have very frankly denounced the inadequacy of the mainstream cycles models in explaining the origins, the nature, the effect on financial crisis. As well known, traditional approaches in economics and finance has indeed been based on the proposition of the so-called efficient market hypothesis developed at the University of Chicago. According to this theoretical approach, financial markets are efficient and instability and crisis may happen only as temporary shock, since markets are always self-regulated and self-stabilizing. As a consequence, new classical macroeconomics, as leading macroeconomic approach, has put real exogenous shock at the center of the analysis of the cycle and on the instability of developed capital system. Furthermore, standard view in economics up today seem to ignore that current capitalist economies are characterized by complex and more sophisticated financial system driven by the fundamental activity of money managers. In this paper, I try to contrast efficient market hypothesis with the financial instability hypothesis held by Ayman Minsky, taking into account the dynamic complexity of financial markets and the role of fundamental uncertainty and organic interdependence. This approach, in my opinion, may provide analytical tools to explain crises through processes endogenous to contemporary economics. Complex dynamics provide an independent source of fundamental uncertainty, and this one, as discussed by Keynes himself, can lead to speculative bubbles in asset markets and to overreactions both in lenders' and in borrowers' attitude toward risk. The relevance of complex dynamics has been particularly stressed by Barclay Russell. This author considers indeed the analysis of complexity a strong foundation for Keynesian models and results. As I shall try to argue, a financial complex capitalism according to financial instability hypothesis is indeed inherently flawed. In absence of adequate economic policy, boom and bust phenomena in financial markets, fueled by credit booms and bust, may generate endogenous instability and systemic crises like the one that occurred recently. The paper is divided in four paragraphs. The first one overviews and moves critical assessment to efficient market hypothesis. The second concerned with financial market as complex dynamic system. The paragraph three shows how complexity and fundamental uncertainty may provide an analytical tool to explain current crisis. And paragraph four stresses the relevance of organic interdependence. The paper is a very provisional draft, and so I need your help to improve. Efficient market hypothesis, everybody knows that this approach stresses the relevance of different types of efficiency. Fundamental valuation efficiency, information arbitrage efficiency, full insurance efficiency, and functional efficiency. As to fundamental valuation efficiency, as everybody knows, state that investors are perfectly rational, from which it follows that markets are efficient in the sense that all the usable information about fundamental is discounted into the current prices. Information arbitrage efficiency states that speculative profits via technical trading on other means are not obtainable. An average investor cannot hope to constantly beat the market, exactly the opposite of Keynes' general theory. If there are some investors that are not rational, their trades are random and being correlated, they cancel out each other's white noise problem. Even if in the presence of correlated trading strategies, efficient market hypothesis stresses that the activity of rational arbitragers or market makers may perfectly eliminate their irrational influences on prices. And so, follow that bubble and crashes cannot occur. The information that might lead to them would indeed be discounted immediately into the price. As to full insurance efficiency, it stressed that financial markets as a whole are efficient if it is possible to insure delivered goods and services under a complete state of nature, that is, the environment considered is algebraic. For example, for mortgage contracts, according to efficient market hypothesis, these markets are efficient if and only if the probabilistic risk of the debtors to be unable to meet future cash outflows linked to contractual debt obligation can be known with actuarial certainty. On this point, see also recently paper by Davidson. Concerning with functional efficiency, efficient market hypothesis stress that is concerned with various activity to mobilize saving, to allow for the diversification and sharing of risk, to enhance ordinary financial markets for liquid and illiquid assets. This is particularly relevant for the discussion that follows. To produce and disseminate information, to produce corporate governance, and finally to facilitate investment and innovation. If it is the case, efficient market hypothesis is unable to provide any guidelines for how to deal with financial crises, both domestically and or globally. Such crises are not possible in efficient market context. Efficient market would indeed never permit never overborrowing by households and firms to spend an amount that so exceeds their income or cash flow, nor overlending by banks and other financial institutions. That is to say, the intertemporal budget constraint is known in actuarial terms. No speculative, neither Ponzi financial units in the world of efficient market, by contrast with financial stability policy by Ayman Minsky. Everybody knows the taxonomy adopted by Minsky, edge by speculative and Ponzi financial. This argument was become even stronger in recent decades since a vast risk management and pricing system has evolved. Efficient market hypothesis stressed that permitting computer to organize the market may reduce significantly the variance and therefore increase the probability of a more well-organized, insurable, and ordinary market than before. In this sense, efficient market hypothesis is based on simplistic, not simple, but simplistic by contrast to complex, simplistic approach, since it assumes or seems to ignore the actual processes that unfold within and beyond economic and financial complex systems. As we know, Keynes was very well aware of these aspects, since his work as an economist was essentially an attempt to cope with the complexity of economic system and with the organic interdependence of the variables, founded on a conception of economics and size of social complexity. The most important loci of economic complexity in general theory are the analysis of long-term expectations and that of the business cycle, but is also relevant as to convention, the article on Quarterly Journal of Economics, 1937. When Keynes wrote the general theory, the leading actors were the stock market investors in financial market, and they found their actions and decisions from conventions. As Keynes wrote, the essence of convention lies in assuming that the existing state of affairs will continue indefinitely, except in so far we have a specific reason to accept a change, and particularly knowing that our own individual judgment is worthless, we endeavor to fall back on the judgment of the rest of the world, which is perhaps better informed. The psychology of a society of individuals, even whom is individual to cope with the others, leads to what we may strictly term a conventional judgment. In financial market, the evaluation of the investment opportunity depends on the judgment of the rest of the world, or on the attempt to confer with the behavior of the majority or the average. Instead, economic activity is fundamentally guided by conventional judgment. These factors determine people's state of confidence. When Keynes talk about state of confidence, the meaning is twofold. The state of confidence of speculators or speculative investors, but also the state of confidence of the lending institution, that is to say the state of credit. The fluctuation in the state of confidence is what made the business cycle a highly complex phenomenon. Expectation and investment cannot indeed be modeled by using probabilistic relationship to study the instability and crisis, because the study of instability and crisis are therefore beyond the domain of probabilistic inference as assumed by efficient market hypothesis. Put in more plain English, under condition of fundamental uncertainty that depend on complexity of financial system, the behavior of economic agents is so complex that a formal probabilistic treatment of expectation is not feasible. In complex economic systems, the predictability that is so successful for our sciences does not work, and theories claiming predictability and computability have misled policymakers and continue to do so. On this point, see the quotation by Davidson Taylor Schmidt. There are indeed serious epistemological problems associated with complex economic systems, which imply that there exist serious bounds on the rationality of economic agents assumed by efficient market models. These bounds take many forms: inability to understand the internal relation of a system, but particularly in my opinion, is important the inability to understand the interaction of agents, especially when these agents are thinking about each other thinking. Okay? This can lead indeed to growth dynamics, as analyzed by Keynes for the well-known beauty context, where each party tries to guess the average state of expectation of the other parties. Participants in financial market tend to be more interested at the average level of sentiment in the market than in the relation of prices to the fundamentals. Whenever forming expectation means predicting an aggregate outcome that is formed in part from other expectation, expectation formation can be self-referential. The problem of logically forming expectation that become indefined and the rational deduction find itself with no bottom ground to stand upon. The indeterminacy of expectation formation is by no means a rarity or anomaly within the real economy. On the contrary, it pervades all of economics, and as pointed out for Keynes, particularly the financial markets. When different people have different views about each other's expectations, The results can indeed be dynamically complex. The fact that the result of one decision depends on the decision taken by the others gives rise to a special character to interdependence. Interdependence in itself is not a source of fundamental uncertainty, since it may merely generate complexity in a constant or predictability changing environment. One has to consider organic interdependence, where the whole when may be more than the sum of its parts. Organic interdependence creates fundamental uncertainty in the sense that expectation must be about other people's expectation, and this spreads fundamental uncertainty. On this point, see the article by Dickweck in Journal of Economic Issues, 01. The reality of complex dynamics undermines the classical view on two grounds. First, the presence, this is Rosser, 05. The presence of complex endogenous dynamics means that the economy is not necessarily self-stabilizing or optimal and efficient. Second, such dynamics undermine the assumption of rational expectations. As to complexity, there are many different definitions. But in my opinion, I hope in the help of Professor Alessandro Vercelli on this point, Foster stressed the importance of fourth-order complex system, that is the so-called interactive knowledge case. This is particularly relevant to study financial market behavior. Such systems come into being when mental models interact with each other. My imagination can still mold reality by knowledge that this is so leads others to imagine what my imagining might be. But such complexity, the complexity defined following fourth order complex system in Foster, Cambridge Journal of Economics, presents many traits, since it can lead to speculative dynamics. Indeed, in the presence of positive feedback, a given trader is made better off if everybody else is trading on his information, or positive information spillovers aggregate belief chiefs to bear a relationship to realistic possibilities. This is in sharp contrast with the most information-based asset pricing models, where is the negative positive feedback event that is considered. A given trader is made better off if nobody else is trading on this information. If it is the case, severe structural discontinuity can be the result. Boom phases, characterized by a bull market in the security market, fueled by an overlending and an overborrowing process in the credit market, are followed by a bear market, a credit crunches, and then the risk of crashes, downturns, and then deflation, like in Minsky financial.
Probably a bit faster, judging from the slides.
Did you say bear or bear?
Bear. He needs to work to do.
Some mistake. Bear market. In this case, efficiency is not reached because not only capital is not allocating according to the result of the entity, but this strategy leads to financial bias. A complex financial system, considering the complexity as I have considered, I'm not sure that Minsky, when talk about the complex financial system, thought that it was linked with the complexity as stressed by Barclay, Russell, and others. But I use this approach to re-elaborate the financial instability hypothesis. A complex financial system is inherently flawed. Booms and busts are the result of the internal dynamics of the financial market. I, in the follow, utilize this approach to consider some aspects of the subprime crisis, not all the aspects, but some aspects. Taking into account the importance of institutional investor money managers, that is to say the leading actors became in the 19th, particularly institutional investor money macro, and by difference with see the difference expressed by Keynes in general theory, the leaders being money managers instead of stock market investors. As we know, money managed funds include mutual funds, venture capital funds, and hedge funds. The consolidation of market power in the end of money manager has been driven by liberalization, deregulation, and reduced supervision. All economic policy adopted in the United States in the 30 years, but not only in the United States. And the importance of securitization and globalization. These structural changes in the system generate a systemic problem that results from the incorrect notion of efficient market hypothesis. Since similar models were widely used all over in other capitalistic countries, the model themselves drive financial sophisticated and complex financial system. Mimicry behaviors was founded on complex dynamic and fundamental uncertainty in globalized financial market. That is, overlending and overborrowing by institutional investors, banks and other financial institutions, and by overborrowing by households and firms in the credit market can be justified on the mimicry behaviors, not only inside the country, but also outside the U.S. Even though, from the microeconomic perspective, no financial institution alone is sufficient to generate a lending boom, this may come about as a consequence of the action by lenders who, in a context of fundamental uncertainty founded in the complexity of financial markets, unnerved. In other words, investment money manager and financial institution adapted their behavior regarding the granting of loans to that of the others, because in this way they have less to lose in terms of their reputation. Deserving happens every time the operator acts by convention and by observing the behavior of the others. Given that people's decisions are influenced by their beliefs, and as decisions constitute signals for others, the improvement or deterioration in the state of confidence can spread with more or less speed to the whole system. An improvement in the state of credit induced by your behavior increased the value of capital goods and real assets, the price of houses, but this in turn has positive effect on the credit constraint with procyclical effect. In US, the process described began around the year 2000 after the dot-com bubble burst, since interest rates were unusually low and liquidity was plentiful. When the aforementioned elements are mixed together, the tendency was toward an increasing in speculative and Ponzi financial units, and then to an increasing of the overall financial fragility by lending institutions, by households, and by purchasing of mortgage-backed securities. The process described hinges on the complexity of the financial system, since banks and other financial institutions structure became fragile, the risk of credit crunch increased, and a systemic financial crisis increased. And what follows is about the credit crunch and financial crisis and the risk of debt depletion. I have not enough time to conclude, but I sent the slide to Mark. Thank you.